We're in Hey Amid Aleph, four lines in the top of the page. Okay, it said in the Mishnah that if somebody was Mumcha L'Rabim, that means he was an expert, recognized in everything, he could do it on his own. So Rav Nachman said like me, Rav Chia said like me. Okay? So the Gemara says like this, Iborilo, the question was asked of the Chachamim. Could Gaina know when they said me, Rav Nachman and Rav Chia, did they mean the Gemira V'Sevina, I have a lot of knowledge, I have logic of the analyzation, and I got permission from the head of the Golus to do this. But if they didn't get Rishus from the Reish Golus, no. Or Dilmar, maybe. Even if he didn't get Rishus from the Reish Golus, his din is a din. The Gemara is asking a very simple question. We said a Yochid Mumcha can make a din. Even though normally you need three, but an expert could do it with one. Does that mean he got permission from the Reish Golusa, then he could do it? Remember, the Reish Golusa was the guy appointed by the government to be the head of the leader of the Jewish people. So is this then only when you get permission, or even if you don't get permission? What's the din? So Gemara says, Toshma, come, I'll prove it to you. The Mazut, Rabbi Rav Nachman, the Mazut, the son of Rav Nachman, Don Dina, made a ruling, Vitani made a mistake. He made a mistake. Also, the comment of Rav Yosef, so he came to Rav Yosef to ask him, does he have to pay out of his own pocket the damage? Amalei Rav Yosef said to him, in Kiblu Alayo, if both litigants accepted you as the judge unconditionally, later Sham, you don't have to pay. Because basically, they accepted whatever you ruled. Vilay Zil Shlim. Go, pay. In other words, what did he make it? It depended. If they accepted you, good, and if not, not. He says, Shmamino, ki leinokad rishusi, even if he didn't get permission, din a din. The din is a din. Because he didn't speak about a, Ramazut Lepel didn't get permission from the Reish Golusa. Okay? Yet, what did Rav Yosef say? If they accepted you, for sure it's good, but if not, not. That means you must get permission from the Reish Golusa.
Why is it that if they accepted you,
In secular law, you also have that. If there's binding arbitration, you could be the stupidest ruling possible, but they accepted it. Well, what's the binding arbitration mean? Whatever you rule, we accept. Whether you're right or wrong. That's what binding arbitration means.
With permission. Without
that's the halacha, by the way, today. Kiblu alayu, and that's why when the his sign was called a shtar birurin when there's a bezdin. You basically write in the document, every bezdin makes you sign. It's a legal document. Mm-hmm. It's in English, Hebrew, depending on where you are. Yeah? That I accept the ruling of this bezdin. That's it. Therefore, even if you can prove the bezdin made a mistake, it doesn't matter.
And it's protected by
the it's protected in civil law also. Yeah.
But here it means that they didn't get the permission
right.
from Reish Golusa.
Right. And therefore,
we don't need them, meaning.
Huh?
We don't need the Reish Golusa. They can just do the judgment without Reish Golusa being involved. That's what it means?
Well, yeah, the way Rashi explains it, it means that nevertheless, even if you didn't get permission, okay, the Rashi says the din is a din. The din would be a din even if you didn't get permission.
Even if you don't get permission.
Because he didn't talk about getting permission.
Yeah.
Okay, Amirav, he says, Amirav Rav said, Haiman the boy, the maiden dina, one who wants to, make a dintera. I mean, sit as the judge in a dintera. He told me, boy, the miftera, and he doesn't want to have to pay if he makes a mistake. What's the eitzah for him? Let him get permission from the head of the Golus, and then even if he makes a mistake, he doesn't have to pay. So Shmuel said, let him get permission from the Reish Golusa. Okay, what it means is like this. It's a little bit different than we just said. The whole story is like this. If you don't get permission from the Reish Golusa, your din is not a din. period. So why would you have to pay? The whole din is like null and void. The whole din Torah is null and void. Right? So why would he have to pay if they didn't accept him?
Because both sides accepted him.
No, that's what he said to him. If both sides accepted you, then it's good. That's regardless. If they didn't accept you, then you have to pay. Correct? That's what he told him. That means his din is a din. Because if, without permission, your din Torah is invalid, then you don't have to pay.
But if both sides accepted...
But we said this last time also. The Gemara says, we'll see it later in the Gemara, if somebody made a mistake, a dayan made a mistake in an open Mishnah, or today it says, in an open din of Shulchan Aruch, the guy made a mistake. Yeah? He ruled wrong. And he made a mistake from an open din or open Mishnah. The din is, he doesn't have to pay. It's just null and void. It never existed. The din Torah never existed. That's what it means. So he's, the fact that Rav Yosef said to Marzutra, that if you made a mistake, you have to pay, that means the din is a din. Even though he didn't get permission from Reish Galusa. Therefore, one second. Therefore, the Gemara, based on Rav Yosef, well, this is before even, based on what Rav Yosef said, that if you didn't get permission, then you have to pay. Yeah, he said, how do you get out of paying? Get permission from the Reish Galusa to make a din, and then you don't have to pay. You just give him a business advice. You want to make, you sit as a judge, as a yochid, and you don't want to have to pay if you made a mistake. All you have to do is get permission from Reish Galusa and you're off the hook.
It just seems a little bit uncharacteristic that Tanaim, whose teachings, teachings are forever, have to have the stamp of approval of someone who's appointed by Goyesha.
No, but he was a great man. It wasn't Sayyukul. I mean, it wasn't...
He was a great man.
It wasn't a learned man. I don't know if he was an Amir. It depends which one's Mustama. But... No, I mean, you needed permission, because that gave you government authority. And therefore, trade authority.
But for you to say a din in Gemara, you still needed him to? Or only...
No, in litigation. No, litigation.
Only for contemporary...
litigate court cases.
At that time.
Yeah, not...
Monetary.
Not anything...
But if you're teaching something in your yeshiva, which later on became possibly Gemara... You didn't need to have his approval.
No. But there's another din. What happens if you brought a chicken to the Rav, you know if it's kosher or not, and the Rav said it's not, and you threw it out, and then you found out the Rav made a mistake, it was good. So sometimes the Rav would have to pay.
I'm confused. You just said a minute ago...
There's a confused join Chabad. They make you more confused.
I mean, what if both sides accept?
Oh, then he's the Mazuta said. Then Rav Yosef said, doesn't matter.
Yeah, but after the deen, one side says,
No. But once they accepted it,
when the guy with the chicken also accepts whatever this Rav says.
No, he doesn't accept. He accepts, but he made a mistake. It wasn't a din Torah. This din of acceptance is only by litigation.
Why should the Rav pay if the guy...
He made a mistake. He made damage to a person.
And in litigation?
It depends. Litigation is different. It's monetary issues of...
If he makes the wrong decision, therefore the wrong person gets damaged?
If they accepted it in writing, then that's good. If they didn't accept it, he has to pay.
So last thing you said, if it's clearly stated...
Admission. We said that now. Yeah. No. You know, the Welt says an interesting thing. You come, you make a problem in your kitchen, yeah? And the Rav says it's treif. Whatever. So you can't kasher, you have to throw out $200 worth of stuff, let's say, yeah? Nobody seems to mind. But $100 din Torah that you lose, then you start screaming. So he said, the answer is, because it's not that I lost the money, that he's right. That's the brunt, that he's right, not that I lost. He's right. Okay, right.
Reish Galusa, what if the two agree? So we don't need Reish Galusa. But if they two litigants they don't agree, then you need
Reish Galusa not to pay. Okay, the Gemara says like this. Pshit that self understood. Now the Gemara says like this. We're going from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. is permission in Eretz Yisrael good for Bavel, and is permission in Bavel good for Eretz Yisrael? That's what the Gemara is asking now. Pshita is the given. Mehacha lehacha, mehasam lehasam. Permission in Bavel for Bavel, permission in Eretz Yisrael for Eretz Yisrael. Or mehacha lehasam namiman. It's also that permission in Bavel is also good in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Which means that Bavel is a better authority than Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Hacha Shevet, the Pasuk says, what's the Pasuk? Le'yasev Shevet Me'Yehuda, okay? They shouldn't, scepter should not be left out of Eretz Yehuda. And Mechekek, it says this. The leaders in Bavel are called Shevet, scepter, and the ones in Bavel are called Mechaikik, legislator. What does it mean? Ketanya says in the Braise, the Pasuk says like this. The Yal says, Shevim and Yehuda, the scepter will never leave. Shevet is what the king has. The Yeah, but Shevet is the word Shevet, by the way. Here it means Shevet, yeah, the scepter.
From the
Megillah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. The Yal says, Shevet me Yehuda, Eilu Rashi Goli Shebe Bavel. These are the Reish Galusa of Bavel that judge the people with a stick, meaning they're very tough. And the scholar amongst his descendants refers to Bnei Bavel Shalhilol Shemalamdim Teder L'Rabim, that teach Teder publicly. That was in Eretz Yisrael. So it says, one second. So it says like this. That in Bavel they're called stronger people, and Eretz Yisrael they're just legislators, they just teach, they're not tough guys. So Sav understood that permission in Bavel is stronger than the permission in Eretz Yisrael. So if you got permission in Bavel, you can definitely make rulings in Eretz Yisrael with, considered with permission. But the question is, how about if somebody got permission in Eretz Yisrael to judge in Bavel, to judge in Eretz Yisrael, is that good for Bavel? Okay, that was the question. In other words, permission in Bavel is good for Eretz Yisrael. The question is permission in Eretz Yisrael good enough for Bavel? Because Bavel is a stronger authority. So he says, Toshma, come, I'll prove it to you. The Rabbi Barbachana made a ruling, and he made a mistake. Okay? Also, the Kamed Rabchia. He came before Rabchia in Eretz Yisrael, to ask him if he has to pay for the mistake that he made. Amalehu, he said to him like this, if they both sides accepted you, litigants both accepted your ruling, later shalim. V'ilay, and if not, zil shalim, go pay. Okay? But the Gemara said, V'rabba barbachana rishus avinokit. Rabba barbachana had permission in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara is going to show him soon that in Eretz Yisrael he had permission to rule. It doesn't help for me. In other words, like this. Rabbi Barbachana had permission. I was going to say this in a second. He had permission from the head of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael to rule, to make rulings. But he made a ruling in Bavel and he made a mistake. Okay? So he came to Rabbi Chia to ask Hashem, do I have to pay or not? So he said, if they accepted you, yes. If they didn't accept you, no. That means, but he had permission in Eretz Yisrael to do it. Yeah? So he says, Shmamina mehasim lahachalei mahani. So it says, permission in Eretz Yisrael is not going to get you off the hook in Bavel.
But he ruled.
And he made a mistake.
But he ruled.
Yeah. But the question, no, the Gemara is saying a statement before, if you get permission from the Reish Galusa, you don't have to pay. That was what the Gemara is saying. If you get permission to rule from the head of the Galusa, then you don't have to pay, right? So now the Gemara asks, is permission in Eretz Yisrael good enough for Bavel?
Not to pay.
Right.
Not to pay. Yeah,
from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael is good. Bavel to Bavel is good. Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael is good. How about permission in Eretz Yisrael? Can you rule in Bavel without having to pay? So the Gemara brings this proof from Rabbi Achon and Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia said that the only way you cannot pay is if both sides accepted you. But if they didn't accept you, even though you had permission from the Reish Galus and Eretz Yisrael, you still have to pay in Bavel. Which means permission from Eretz Yisrael is not good for Bavel. And the Gemara says, Shema Minot's a good proof.
But Vice versa is okay.
Vice versa is okay.
But that time, it was more Torah authority.
It was just a stronger it was a stronger leadership.
And also, is this mashma that from here that the Nasi Adar is always from Yehuda? Because even
that's a clear pasuk.
That's what the Gemara just said.
Lo Yosef Shevet Yehuda is that the Gemara learns out that
always from Yehuda.
Neshkocha Pratis, Hashem promised David HaMelech. No, promise Yaakov,
even when the Gersh government chose, it was always from Yehuda.
Most of the time, they chose from Yehuda.
And then, from Eretz Yisrael, it says it's from Hillel. It was also from Yehuda.
Hillel was also from Yehuda. Yeah.
Rabbeinu, wasn't Israel under the rulership of Babel anyway?
Yeah, under but the question is, the permission from there helped for Eretz Yisrael because Babel was tougher. That's all. Vilei Mahani, the Gemara says it doesn't help. You tell me permission for Eretz Yisrael doesn't help for Bavel that you don't have to pay. Whenever he argued with the guy from the Avreish Galusa, Rabbi Barav Huna used to argue with the Reish Galusa. He said to him, Omar, lav minai nechita reshusa. I didn't get permission from you. I don't need your permission. Nikita Nushusa me Abba Mori, Rabbi Rav Huna said, I got permission from my father, and Abba Mori Rav Huna got permission from Rav, and Rav got from Rav Chia, and Rav Chia from Rebbe. So he said, basically, I don't need your permission because I got permission from Eretz Yisrael. Yeah? So Lucher, the Gemara says, then permission in Eretz Yisrael is good. Because now what is Rabbi Rav Huna telling him? Rabbi Rav Huna says, I don't need your permission in Bavel because I got permission in Eretz Yisrael. That's what he said to him. But if Eretz Yisrael is not good enough permission for Bava, what's he telling him? So Gemara answers, one second. Gemara answers, B'mil Saddam Modokimli. Rabbi Rav Huna just pushed him off with words, but he was wrong. He just said, I don't need your permission. But the truth is, he did need permission from Bava. The permission of Eretz Yisrael wouldn't be good enough.
And when he's mentioning so many names, is it going back generations or just the same generation? So many.
Well, let's put this way. They all lived together. Rav was a nephew of Rav Chi and a student. Rav Huna was a student of Rav, but they're all
at the same time.
Maybe all together 50 years apart.
You said last week that Rosh Kenuta was not such a... It was an authority from the government.
Yeah, but he was a great Jewish man. They didn't pick up Izvar.
So the Rav versus Rosh Kenuta... Which one is higher? Do you get permission from the Rav or
authority in litigation? The Reish Galusa was in charge. It was like Dina Malchus Adin in that respect. Okay, he was the governing power.
And also, why does Gemara say Rav of Bar? It doesn't say Bar Bar.
Huh?
Why Gemara says twice it mentions Bar? It's missing a Bar.
Why? No, it's a different. It says it was Rabbi Bar. There was two guys. It was Rabbi Bar Bar Chana.
Here it says Rabbi Bar.
It was a different guy.
So it's
not the same guy.
Both times you said Rabbi Bar Bar Chana.
It slipped. It's Rabbi Bar Chana. In fact, he brings out at the bottom. Not to be confused. Taisus says over here. Taisus says Rabbi Bar Chana. He says, because if you say Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, then it was a grandchild. Taisus Taka says that this is Rabbi Bar Chana, not Rabbi Bar Bar Chana.
Rabbi Bar Chana was also an Amoraim?
Yeah, they're all Amoraim. Okay, now the Gemara says, the Chamiyach Adalei Mahani, if it Taka doesn't help, Rabbi Bar Chana, Rishutza Denokal Amli, why did Rabbi Bar Chana get permission from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael if it doesn't help anyway? Right, if he wanted to rule in Bavel, he needs permission from the Reish Galusa Bavel. The permission in Eretz Yisrael doesn't help. So he says he did it la yaris ha'emdim al ha'gvulin. He did it for the cities on the boundaries. I mean, like in Europe, you say Ibn the Gran, it's over the boundaries. In other words, there are certain cities on the boundary of Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. Over there, his permission worked because they still had the jurisdiction of Eretz Yisrael also. So the Gemara says, "My Roshusa, what permission did Rabbi Bar Chana get?" We said he got permission. What permission did he get? So the Gemara says like this: "Kavanochas Rabbi Bar Chana leBavel. When Rabbi Bar Chana went down to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael, Amalei Abchiel Rabbi. I mean, Amalei Rabchiel Rabbi, Rabchiel said to Rabbi, Benachi Yered LeBavel. My nephew is going down to Bavel. Yered, can he render decisions, you know, in kosher and treif? Rabbi answered, Yered, let him rule. Yadin, is he allowed to do litigation? Yadin, let him do litigation. Yatir Bechaydis, I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Can he permit the blemishes for firstborn animals? Rabbi said, Yatir, let him do it. Meaning like this. Rabbi Bar Chana, the Gemara is going to elaborate in this whole thing. Rabbi Bar Chana was Rabchia's nephew. Rav was also Rabchia's nephew. That we'll soon see. Okay? They were both his nephews. One was half nephews, whole nephews, whatever. They were nephews. Rabbi Bar Chana was going from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Okay? So Rabchia's uncle goes to Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and said, listen, my nephew is moving to Bavel. Is he allowed to render halachic decisions? In Yoredeya. You know, kosher treif. He said, yes. Can he render halacha in litigation? He said, yes. Can he do, see blemishes for a firstborn? He said, yes. What does it mean? A bechor in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, a firstborn animal, okay, was given as a carbon. But you have to bring the firstborn animal. A bechor nechal kahanim, like we say in Davin. They brought the firstborn to the Kohen. Shechted it, as a carbon, the Kohen got it. What do you do now that there's no Beis Hamikdash? It's still holy. A bechor is holy. So the din is, it says in the Gemara, yira atshe yistayv, meaning it grazes in the field until it develops a blemish that would invalidate it as a carbon. And then you can shecht it and eat it.
You don't have to redeem it?
No, you can't redeem.
No, I mean after it's a blemish.
No. No, once it's blemish, it loses its status. Before the blemish, you can't redeem it.
And if it's blemish, it's still kosher to eat?
Yeah, it's a blemish that's no good for a carbon, but it's good to shecht. Now, so he said, so the Gemara says, in order to rule on blemishes, that this is a blemish that would invalidate it as a carbon, therefore you can check that you need it, you need to be an expert. Okay? That was even more difficult than litigation. So Rabbi Chiya asked Rabbi about Rabbi Bar Chana, his nephew, is he allowed to rule?
Yes.
Yes. Can he do litigation? Yes. Can he check out the mums of the Bukhar? Yes. Okay? So you see, he got permission from Rebbe. By the way, that's why when you get smicha today, there's yoyra yoyra and yodin yodin. This is where the expression comes from. Yoyra yoyra is when you get smicha to do yoredeya, you know, get smicha, the rabbi. To be a dayan, yodin yodin, to do litigation, so then you need officially what's called yodin yodin. Which is like another level, a whole different smicha. What?
That's why he needed to. So this is like three smichas.
Three smichas, yes.
So he didn't say, okay, you're a rabbi to do it. You have to give all these three different authoritative positions of halacha to him separately.
Yeah, he got three separate permissions.
And also, he says, from here, it says, Bechoders al yatir.
You know, you jumped the gun about five lines. Okay, so this is what happened when Rabbi Bar Chana went to Bavel. Kavanochus Rav LeBavel, when Rav was going down to Bavel, Amar Reb Chiya LeRabbi, so Reb Chiya again said to Rabbi, listen, Ben Achesi Yedel LeBavel, the son of my sister. Now, Rabbi Bar Chana was the nephew from his brother, and Rav was Reb Chiya's nephew from his sister. So Ben Achesi Yered LeBavel, my nephew Rav is going down to Bavel. Yeda, can he rule? You know, Yoredeya Yeda. Yadin, yes, Yadin. Yatir Bechedus, can Rav look at blemishes? Al Yatir. He can't. Why? Because Rebbe knew the both of them, and Rebbe knew that Rabbi Bar Chana was an expert in blemishes, and Rav wasn't. There's nothing to do with the ability to learn. Rav didn't know, he didn't learn the butcher business, and Rabbi Bar Chana did. And therefore, Rabbi said to Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Bar Chana could rule in the blemishes of her firstborn, and Rav can't. So the Gemara says, Mishnah Lamad, why did Rav Chiya refer to Rabbi Bar Chana as my brother's son? Well, Mishnah Lamad, why by Rav did he call my sister's son? Yeah? What's the Gemara's question? The Gemara says, why did he call him my brother's son and my daughter's son? My brother's son and my sister's son. If this is a side Gemara, he said maybe because that's what the Metzius was. This was his brother's son and this was his sister's son. But it's not true. Okay, Kula b'nei Abba bar Acha Karsala. We're all the sons of Abba bar Acha Karsala. From the Mikfari Hava. From the
village.
No, Acha Karsala was his name from Kafari. Okay, now, Rav's father, okay, was Ivu. Rav's father was Ivu. Okay? Rabba's father was Chana, correct? Now here it says Ivul Chana and all Rav Chiya were all brothers.
Chana was his mother, not his father.
No, Chana was his father. It wasn't Chana, it was Chana. Chana was the father, yeah? And Rav's father was Ivul. And Rav Chiya was one of the brothers, right? There are five brothers. Ivu, Chana, Shila, Marsa, and Abchia. Right? Now, Rav's father was Ivu. Rav's father was Chana. Correct? So why did he say on one of them, my brother's son, and one of them, my sister's son, they were both his brother's son? Right? I was asking just a practical question. Yeah. Why did he call Rav, my sister's son, and Rabba, my brother's son, when Rav was also his brother's son? So the Gemara answers like this. Rav barachu da'ava barachse. Rav was the son of Rav Chiya's brother as well as Rav Chiya's sister. Okay? Why? So it says like this. Abba baracha karsala was a widower with a son. Okay? What?
Sounds like a brother and sister got married.
No, a step brother and stepsister got married.
But he's not.
Step brother and stepsister. Listen what happened. Abba Baracha Karsala, the father, right, was a widow with his son Ivu, who married a widow with a daughter. Okay? Rav Chiya was born of the second marriage. Eventually, Rav Chiya's half brother Ivu married Rav Chiya's half sister. They weren't related. Okay,
He said Yibum.
No, Yibum. No, Yibum does it. Very simple. There was the father, okay, married a second woman. His first wife died. He already had a son, Ivo. Okay? Now, he married a widower who had a daughter. Yeah. Now, Rav Chiya was born from that marriage. Okay? So Rav Chiya and Ivu were half-brothers from the same father, but from a different mother. Yes. Now, Ivu married Rav Chiya's half-sister. But Ivu was not related to the daughter of his father's second wife. Correct?
Different mothers.
Different mothers.
Different mothers and different fathers.
Yeah.
Okay? So therefore, they were allowed to get married. So Leperio, Rav, was his half-brother's son and his half-sister's son. So by him, he picked a sister.
Why?
Huh? Why 1 second. Rabbi Bar Chana Barachu the La Bar Achsi. Rabbi Chana was the son of Achia's brother, not his sister. But Rav was also from his sister. Half-sister.
Yeah.
Or Iboye Seima, another explanation why this discussion was, Al Shem Chochmasi. He called to Rav, not because it was legal, his sisters, but it says, Amart lechochma achesiat. You say to wisdom, you are my sister. Shlomo Melech says. So because Rav was so brilliant, he called him my sister's son. Okay, anyway. So the parallel, the Gemara's conclusion is, I'm not to sidetrack the Gemara about who's whom. But the Gemara says, the parallel saying like this. Rebbe gave permission to Rabbi Bar Chana to Yaira, Yodin, and Pcheres. Rav had only permission to Yaira and Yodin, but not to do Pcheres. So the Gemara says, Yate Pcheres, when Rebbe asked about Rav, can he do Pcheres? He said, Al Yatir. He can't. That Rav can't. So the Gemara says, my time, but why not? Why did Rebbe say Rav cannot rule on blemishes?
This goes against
that no, he says, if you say because Rav was not learned, it can be. You just got to saying the guy was super brilliant. Because he's not he didn't know Pashut blemish. He wasn't an expert in the laws of blemishes. Right? So therefore, Rabbi knew that. Yeah, Rabbi knew, because Rav was also a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So he knew his guys. He said he didn't know, he wasn't an expert in animals. Somewhere says it's not true. But Amar Rav said, Shmeina Arse Chadashim Gadalti Eitzel Reya Behema. 18 months, I grew up amongst the guys, herdsmen, to learn the dinam of blemishes. You know, even in order to know which animal is kosher, not only b'chor, b'chol. Rav hung out by butchers for 18 months to learn all the dealings of an animal. So what do you mean? Lay the ezimim kavua. He said, to know what is the permanent blemish and what's a temporary blemish. Yeah? So obviously, Rav knew. How can you say? So the question is, why didn't Rebbe give permission to Rav to no blemishes? You can't say he wasn't learned. He was very learned. Right? And if you tell me he wasn't expert in blemishes, he wasn't expert in blemishes. So the Gemara is asking, why did Rebbe not let Rav rule blemishes? So he says, Alalachalikli cover the Rabbi Bar Chana, to give respect to Rabbi Bar Chana. In other words, like this. Rav, this is what Rashi explains. Rav, everybody respected. Everybody respected. Rabbi Bar Chana, not everybody respected. He was going to Bavel. Rebbe wanted that Rabbi Bar Chana should get everybody's respect. So he gave him a certain status that he didn't give Rav, that people should respect Rabbi Bar Chana also. And as Rav, he wasn't afraid of. He knew that Rav would be respected, because Rav was Rav. Right? But Rebbe wanted to give respect status to Rabbi Bar Chana, that people should respect him also. See, when people heard that Rabbi Bar Chana can do b'chedis and Rav can't, he said, oh, so he must be a great person. So that's why he did it. But it wasn't because Rav was ignorant. Rav LePearl didn't get permission from Rebbe to do b'chedis.
Not because he didn't
know. V'boyes Eima. Now the Gemara says a reverse answer. Why didn't Rebbe give permission to Rav to do b'chedis? Because Rav was such an expert, he was afraid of him. In other words, Rav was such an expert that he would permit blemishes that people wouldn't understand why. And then they would start making mistakes of comparing blemish to blemish. So he didn't want Rav ruling, not because Rav wasn't an expert, dafka because Rav was such a big expert. That Rav baka b'mumetve, Rav was such an expert in blemishes, sharim mumet d'liyade inshi, Rav would permit blemishes that people wouldn't understand, va'amra, and people would compare blemishes to blemishes, but and they say, ki hai gavna shorer Rav, oh, there's a blemish Rav permitted. But they wouldn't understand the intricacies that Rav understood, why this would be good and this wouldn't be good. And people are going to make mistakes in the blemishes.
Can you give us some examples of blemishes?
Broken bones, defects, whatever.
When I lived in Kranheit, somebody said, I lived by Rabbi Azubah, but I lived
on. No.
So he said in the house of a Rav, that people think that people don't keep kosher. Because the Rav knows. He really knows, and people.
It says there's an expression that people say, "From kite comes some illiteracy."
Why?
Why? Because a lot of people are machmer for retarded reasons.
Because you don't know.
Because they don't know. So they're machmer. When you know anything, you see that it's stupid to be machmer. They used to say also that the shiks in the Rav's house could also pass in shilas. Because anyway,
what's the example? The if the broken bone is not that makes that
no,
animal.
But there's a mum even and a temporary blemish and not temporary blemish. Okay.
Sometimes people have to do things just because of
ourselves. Because what?
Someone does something and it's in
the talk louder, sir. That's not what he's talking about over here. Okay. Now, the Gemara goes back to Rav Chiya asked Rav about two of his nephews, right? Rabba and Rav. When he asked Rav Chiya, asked Rabbi Yoida, and Rabbi said Yoida, yeah, that he could paskin those things. So he says, Igamir, if the person learns Rishu Salamili Lamishko, why does he need to get permission? In other words, the din is yeah. Okay. The thing is like this. Even smicha, if you know the halacha, even if you don't have smicha, you can rule it. And even if you make a mistake, if he gave him permission to do yodin, that he doesn't have to pay in litigation, for sure he doesn't have to pay if he trafes the chicken. Right? Because he's an expert. He got permission for that. But why did he ask the question, can he do yoda? Can he rule, yoda day of things? In the kitchen, dinam, all that type of stuff. He says, what difference does it make? If he knows that halacha, let him rule. If he doesn't know that halacha, he still can't rule. And about not paying, Tesis explains here, that he got permission for Yodin anyway. So anyway, he wouldn't have to pay. So what's the question of Yoda? So Gemara says, Mishum Maitse Shohoya. Because the story happened like this. The Tanya, Pamach, Asolach, Rebbe, Lamokim Echad. Rebbe once went somewhere. And Rebbe saw that the people were kneading their dough in Tomei utensils. Okay? Why are you using these impure vessels for, you're making those the stuff impure, right?
How would you know
that it's impure? 1 minute. He saw. So he said, because the Talmud came here once, and he taught us that marsh waters, I'll explain in a second what that is, a machshidin do not make a keli susceptible to tuma. Okay? That means they made the food with marsh waters. Marsh waters is from like
marshland,
which is like full of growths, the reeds and all that stuff. Okay,
algae.
Now they said, "May bitzoyim ein machshirin marsh water." Now, in order for something to become tamei, it has to become first susceptible to tumah, right? Now, if you have dough that was never put with water, the keli is not going to make a tamei. Okay.
Right.
Okay. What happened over here is like this: there's mei beitzim and mei bitzoim. Mei beitzim is juice, fruit juice, eggs, a fruit juice. Fruit juice liquid does not make something susceptible to tumah. Okay? So the guy came and taught them that fruit juice, may beitzim, literally mean eggs, but it means any fruit juice, may peiris, if you have the liquid in an egg, does not make food susceptible to tumah. So therefore, like if you knead dough instead of water, you use eggs, that dough can never become tummy. So even if you do it in a tummy keli, it's not going to become tummy. Okay, that's what the guy taught. They misunderstood it, and they thought may bitsoim, marsh water. Now marsh water, halachically, is regular water. So of course it's going to make the dough susceptible to tumah, and therefore if you put it into a tummy dika keli, it's going to become tummy. But they misunderstood the teacher, or the teacher made a mistake. He thought may beitz and may bitzoim, it sounds alike, so he compared the two together. So vuhu, and that tamid chacham may beitz and darishluhu. He taught them fruit juice. V'inu savar may bitzoim kamer, and they thought he said marsh water. V'to nami baha, and they also made a mistake in the following mishnah. May kramim or may pega, waters of Karamian River and the waters of the Figa River are disqualified as purifying waters. Mipnei shei may betzoyim, because they're marsh water. So they thought that if they're not kosher for mechatos, they can't make something susceptible to tumah. The din is like this. Mechatos, the water for the paraduma, had to be special water. So the Mishnah says that this marsh water is not kosher for mechatos, for the water of the ashes of the paraduma. These ignorant people thought, why isn't it good for mechatos? Because it's not water. That's what they thought. So because of that, they said, if it's not water, it can't make the dough susceptible to tumah. That's what they thought. But they made a mistake. Why isn't marsh water good for mechatos? Because you need natural water. Mayim chayim. But here, to prepare to be machshir tumah, any water is good. Okay? But at that time, Rabbi made a decree. Talmud al Yeda, you cannot make rulings unless if you get permission from an authorized teacher. Okay? Meaning that, and that's what, by the way, this is the concept of smicha today. What's the purpose of smicha today? If you know the halacha, you can paskin. If you don't know the halacha, even if you have smicha, you can paskin. What does smicha do? Today. What does smicha do? Smicha means you have permission from your teacher that you can rule. Rabbi saw this student didn't teach properly. He taught in such a way that the people were able to make a mistake. No. If the teacher teaches in a way that the students make a mistake, the fault isn't the teacher.
It's
got to be clear.
It's all your fault.
Everything is my fault.
Some teachers are giving the yukul to Simcha lately.
That's a very big problem.
They give like a...